Can I get you to stand to your feet this morning? Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, real short verse. Matthew chapter 11. And by the way, make sure you get a copy of the handouts, because we're going to talk about that in the message, the middle part of the message. It's an overview, a review. Matthew 11, chapter verse 15 says, real simple, Jesus speaking, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. You may be seated. Now I asked Sister Holly to do me a favor. Terrence, can you put the ST up this morning, the title of this morning's message? What is Jesus saying? What is Jesus saying? Pay attention. What is Jesus saying? So right now, Sister Holly, can you turn out the lights in the sanctuary? Now I want y'all to see, the only thing that can be lit up in the sanctuary is the multimedia screen, right? But the day you got saved with the very power of Christ to be seen. Now this is one of the gifts I think that was given years ago. What I like about this is inside of it, let me see if I can get it open up. What's given inside of it is it's a self-contained deal so that when that battery runs down and won't get lit up, you can... And this is a picture of what Jesus has given us as believers, the Holy Spirit. And so when you get to the end of yourself, you have the help of the Holy Spirit inside of you to generate Christ to be seen through you.
Yes.
Are y'all seeing this? See, you didn't get saved to illuminate yourself. You got saved so that Christ can be illuminated through you. If Christ wouldn't steal that object, you have no business stealing the object. If Christ wouldn't tell that lie, you have no business telling that lie. If Christ would not honor his parents, are you with me? Then you need to remember, I need to honor my parents. Jesus did everything to honor his earthly parents, even though they were fully sinful, and he was perfect. And I imagine there probably were some times he could have did some correction to them. But he humbled himself and became a human being to show us a human being can live holy and righteous if it's under the power of the Holy Spirit. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
See, that light will keep on shining from now on. Don't have to have no battery. It don't have to be charged up. Ain't got to be plugged up. It has a self-generating ability, as long as it gets, to keep shining. But you know what we do?
Yeah.
We turn the light out and let the flesh be seen. And we cuss like the world. We steal like the world. We commit sexual sin like the world. And we tell God, don't show up through me, because I don't want you to be seen through me. I'm going to do it my way. And if I'm going to help you out this morning, if you don't think you have the ability to sin, meet the pastor after service. I bet you I can put a few of your buttons for you to come out. You don't think so? Meet me after service. I'm going to walk out to the parking lot. I'm going to take my keys out. And I'm going to go against that new paint you got on your car. You're going to say, Pastor, don't help me. No, I don't want to have to hit you now. I'm trying to get you to see all of us have that fallen, sinful nature. And we need the Holy Spirit. Y'all getting this? Can everybody see that light? Okay, you can turn it back on, Sister Holiday. When you don't let Christ be seen through you, you are shutting the door of your willingness to let the Holy Spirit have his way through you. And sometimes it hurts to not want to let the Holy Spirit have his way. It hurts when you can't say what you want to say sometimes. Come on. Tell truth, shame the devil.
Amen.
Somebody do you wrong, the flesh going to show up instantly. You ain't got to think about it. That's why you got to have this mind. I like what Deacon Brown said. There are things you got to always have on that armor. And there's things you got to have access to. And a lot of times, we don't put those two connections. God said, when you don't let my son come through, you're telling both not in place. So let us begin this morning. ST number one. Take the handout that Sister Holiday has given you, and we're going to do a review. You look on the handout, there are two titles in the yellow. Five things we know and remember, and five things to know and understand. First of all, five things to know and remember. You have to always remember God is sovereign. When your house is burned down and you're wondering, Lord, why? God is sovereign. What is it God's not in control of?
Earth is his.
Even Satan
and the fullness thereof
is being controlled by God to accomplish what he wants. Psalms 103 verse 19 says his sovereignty has ruled over what? Over all. Second, we got to always remember, look on the handout, God is good. I don't care how bad things get in life. Psalms 107 verse 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because he's good. Many people do not understand the goodness of the Lord because they don't want to take on his character. And sometimes his character is going to cause you to humble yourself and take stuff from people. You don't want to do that. Therefore, you won't discover how good he is. Third, look at the handout. God loves you.
Yes, he does.
Do you know God loves you?
He does.
Romans 5 and 8 says, God demonstrated his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now he's telling you to take on that same nature. You die to self and let his life be seen through you when people do you wrong. What did he do on that cross? He died for those people that were hating him. And he's asking you, do you have my nature? I love them to death. You got to love people to death. What's the fourth thing? God desires an intimate relationship with who?
Me.
With who?
Me.
And you all, you have to let him come through. He comes down and visits your life every day. Matthew 11, 28. And by the way, on that handout, I left the 11 out. For some reason, when I was typing it up, I deleted that 11. So if you have the handout, write Matthew 11 and 28.
28 and 11.
Matthew 11 and 28. Not 28, 11, because there ain't no 28 chapters. Well, yes, it is. Matthew is 28 chapters. I'm sorry. But 11 and 28. What does it say? Come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden. I give you rest. You won't discover the rest and relationship with the Savior until you come to him. And we're going to talk about it in the second half of these five things. What's the last thing of those five things? God believes in you and he pursues you. Every day, God comes down into your life and asks you, what's going on between you and me? What's going on between you and me? And I like these nature programs, and they were showing this guy, this is one of those rabbit trails, where he was, somebody brought these wild turkey eggs, and he was raising these wild turkey eggs, and what he had learned in that experience of the wild turkey egg as he hatched them and it was growing, the wild turkeys helped the man to discover we as human beings get preoccupied with the past and get preoccupied with the future. And those wild turkeys help him to understand we need to always enjoy the moment. Jesus said, we don't be worried about tomorrow, because tomorrow will take care of what?
Itself.
So he said those wild turkeys help him to realize to enjoy the moment. And he was going around as he was following those turkeys in the woods. He discovered how the nature and the environment accepted him as he was a wild turkey, because he was one of the parents that helped raise a wild turkey. They incorporated him into their life, and they go out into the woods. He started seeing stuff he normally wouldn't ordinarily see. He said every day he saw at least two or three rattlesnakes, because the wild turkeys they let him know there's a snake, whatever it is. And he observed the birds, he observed the nature, he observed the insects. So he was learning to enjoy the moment.
There he goes with God.
Don't miss this. So you're so busy worried about tomorrow, so we're worried about the future, and you miss the blessings of right now. What's the next thing I want to look at on the handout? Five things to know and understand. Now these are simple things, but your pastor sometimes takes it for granted. You guys know this. So that's why we gave you a copy of it. What's the thing we need to remember, we cannot do and please God without God's help.
Yeah.
John 15:4 says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. And the next verse, on verse 5, says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So what God is trying to get us to see, every day you need God's enabling power to live holy, to live righteous.
Yeah.
And God would allow spouses, pastors, bosses, children to do things for you to see you. Y'all done missed it already. And we blame everybody but who?
Me.
You wonder why your kids get on your nerve? God wants you to see you. You wonder why your spouse say things? God wants you to see you. So what happened is, he said, because you cannot respond godly without me. Apart from me, you can do what?
Nothing.
What's the next thing? The Holy Spirit is in you. Remember this little flashlight? Remember, everything inside this flashlight was designed in such a way. Let's see if I can get it to work. When I press that, that pumps that little storage thing in there to make sure that battery is able to be seen. Now, eventually, if I let that stay on, it's going to go down. But the good part about it is, all I got to do is pop that switch and pump it, start shining again. The Holy Spirit is in you to give you that regenerating power.
Yeah.
Look what it says, John the 15th chapter, verse 17. Jesus said before he went to the cross, that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. The world don't understand the power of Jesus, Holy Spirit living inside of you, because it does not see him or know him. But what God is expecting you to understand, that you know him.
Yeah.
Why? Because he abides with you and is where?
In me.
In you. The very power of the Holy Spirit is residing on the altar of your heart. And you have to come to know that. What's the third thing out of those five things we need to know and remember? The Holy Spirit's job is to work, is to reveal Christ in you.
Yeah.
This is just a review. So a lot of stuff you'll start praying for, pray that Holy Spirit let Christ be revealed through the situation. Because that's the only thing the Holy Spirit is going to 100% answer. So we pray about a lot of things, but we don't pray according to the Holy Spirit revealing Christ. Look what it says in John the 15th chapter, verse 26. When the helper comes, the helper is who?
Jesus Christ.
The Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is the helper. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. Who will proceed from the Father. Notice what the Holy Spirit's full-time job is. He will testify about Christ. So you praying that the Lord fix this situation, but you don't want to surrender it unto Christ. Holy Spirit, you leave the Holy Spirit powerless. Because the Holy Spirit's full-time job is to what? Reveal Christ. Move to the fourth thing. The fourth thing, the Holy Spirit is looking to see if Christ is in us. But this is one of those small little tweaks. The Holy Spirit is looking to see, are you going to let Christ be seen? Are you going to let Christ have his response through you? Look what it says in Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified. How?
With Christ.
See, it all got to do with your thinking. If you don't identify that you are now under Christ and with Christ, it's no longer I who live. It's not me living no more. What is it? It's who?
Christ.
But Christ that lives where?
In me.
Christ that lives where?
In me.
Is Christ in you? Is he in you? He ought to be seen on a regular basis. He ought to be seen daily. If Christ is not seen daily through you, then you tell God, I ain't going to do it your way. And do you know what that's called? Disobedience. There's a consequence when you don't do it God's way. You do know that, right? See, when you don't do it God's way, simply, there's a reaction that God the Father shows. Says, dog, they act like they one of them rebels. And when you act like a rebel, you're going to get a rebel reward. Even though you're on your way to heaven. Are y'all listening?
Amen.
He said, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, because I'm alive, how do I live? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When you know Jesus died on the cross for you, that ought to freely liberate you to let him be seen through you. I don't care what people are doing to you, it's Christ coming through you. That's the test you ought to say every day. Christ, are you coming through me? Am I responding how you would respond? See, we don't respond in the flesh for so long, don't take but a second. We show up.
Yeah.
And it ain't him.
That's it.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
When's the last time you cussed somebody out?
Uh-oh.
Was that Christ?
Mm.
Or was that you?
Mm. Come on.
You blessed them, didn't you?
Mm.
You was in the car, they pull in front of you, and you call them something, you know. And nobody know, but what did we say in the edifier? God say what? I heard that.
That's it.
He put you in a situation for you to see you. And we think nobody didn't know. I cussed a little bit when I was driving, but they didn't know. God says, I heard that. See, he's showing us what we are like, and we go right over and miss it. See, he's always at work to will and do his good pleasure.
Yeah.
What's the last thing? This is the good part about it is, it's conditional promise by God to answer if it's Christ Jesus' character applied. Don't miss this. When Christ Jesus is seen on the planet, the God of the universe is backing it. John the 14th chapter, verse 13 and 14, and let's say verse 15 also. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that's the problem. What you're doing and what you're responding ain't in Christ Jesus' name. That will I do. Now that's a promise God the Father has guaranteed to answer. But the problem is, we leave Christ out, and therefore it's not going to get answered. See, when you leave Christ out and how you're responding, it's not going to get answered. That's why it's not no miracles. That's not why it's not no change in the church. That's why it's not no power being seen. Because we're leaving who out?
Christ.
We're leaving Christ and his character out. So he says, so that my Father may be glorified in him. So ask yourself, is what I'm doing glorifying God? Because if it's not glorifying God, you have no business what? You have no business doing it, right? Look what it says in verse 14. If you ask me for anything, what does anything mean?
Anything.
Do we really believe that? Notice the next three words, in my name. See, what comes along with the request, Jesus steps up beside you in the request and says, now, am I a part of that? That's why when they were in jail and they prayed, the Lord sent an earthquake because he was all over that thing. They was praising the Lord. See, God loves to answer prayer, but we got to make sure we got Christ in the middle of all over everything. He says right there, he will do it. Now, when God said he's going to do something, what does that mean?
He's going to do it. He's faithful.
He can straighten out that home. He can straighten out that relationship.
Yeah.
He can straighten out that stuff on your job. He can straighten out. The problem is, we're leaving Christ out. God will fix the problem just like that if you put him in the middle of it. And when he fixes it, he ain't going to fix it the way you think it ought to work.
Amen.
He's going to fix it because he's working on your character.
Mm.
Look what it says in verse 15. If you love me, you will what?
Keep my commandments.
If you love me, you're going to do what?
Keep my commandments.
And that's the problem. We don't want to keep his commandments because he done spoke. And we're telling God, well, Lord, I love them up until they do this. And when they cross the line, I'm not going to let you be seen. I'll show up full blown. Am I helping y'all this morning? So let's get to ST number two. ST number two. Sermon text number two. Now, this is not in your handout. Now, I like to give y'all all the stuff in my notes when I give a sermon. But I've learned I'm handicapping you when I do that. Y'all know what I mean by that? So you need to write down and keep these scriptures for yourself. And parents, if you don't know what to teach your children during the week, just go over the sermon. Just go over what did the pastor talk about as you teach your children. Because your job every week is to sit down with those children and help them understand who Christ is. Well, so first of all, Matthew 11, chapter verse 15, we say, he who has ears to hear, let him what?
Hear.
Are you really listening to the Savior?
Amen.
Are you really listening to the Savior?
Amen.
God said, yeah, you got two ears, but you ain't hearing. Pastor's guilty of this when First Lady speaks sometimes. I got 2 ears, but I ain't listening. See, God said, don't be like that. If you've heard me say something, pay attention. Turn to Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 43. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verse 43. See, when you start letting Christ be seen, then you get to be illuminated. Is this light still on? See, when you let Christ be seen through you, I'm going to figure out how to. When you let Christ be seen through you, guess what? He'll be illuminated. He'll be seen through everything you say and everything that you do. He says, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun. When is this going to happen? In the kingdom of their Father. And let me just do a little teaching. How many know what the millennial kingdom is about? We might teach on that because, see, that's a lot of people ignorant of God's word and what's going to happen. If you are a born-again believer, part of the prophetic thing that God's going to do in the future is he's going to reign on this planet for 1,000 years. Mm-hmm. And he's going to show mankind what government should have been like. Mm. But the sad part about it is that many Christians that say they say don't know their part in that activity. What is your part in that activity? Where God's going to use you to co-reign with him during that millennial reign. And how many people go to church and still have not understood that? Now, I ain't blaming it on the pastors. Because the people, some of them, not even ready for that. They still tied up in the local government, what's going on now. Don't worry about this government now, because it ain't God's program. Satan is in charge. But God's program, when he come, you start letting it be seen now through you live on the kingdom to come. Because where how you live in now is telling God where to place you. Ooh, there's some good stuff in that kingdom when he reigns. And if he ain't important to you now, then guess what? God gonna say, you ain't important to me when I start reigning on the earth. Jesus Christ himself is going to reign for 1,000 years.
Yeah.
And guess where those that are not committed to him are going to be? Mm. The Bible described them as being in outer darkness. Mm. That's not a good place to be, folks. Mm. Come on Tuesday. If y'all need me to elaborate on it, I will. So let's get into the text. I want you to see those seven churches. Those seven churches. Turn to the book of Revelation.
Next.
The book of Revelation has those seven churches. These are the seven types of churches that show what kind of ministries that are alive until the Lord come back for the church. The first church, and it's in Revelation chapter 2, is the church of Ephesus. And look what it says in verse 7. When Jesus spoke to the Ephesus church, he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And those that are sold out for Christ. Now, let me just say this. There are only two churches that God gave commendation to. That's Smyrna and Philadelphia. All the rest of them, he had to chasten. So Ephesus is one of those churches where he had to chasten. And notice the attributes of Ephesus. Ephesus was a church. I misplaced my notes.
2 and 8.
What God wants us to realize is, are we listening to him? Are we listening to him? Ephesus is a church that lost its first love. You don't lost your first love for Jesus that died for you? Yeah, he not important to me no more. See, when you're not listening to Christ Jesus, you're telling you're one of those Ephesus church, one of them Ephesus members. But what I like about it is, Jesus said, if you hear what I'm saying, he that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, to him will overcome. I will grant him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. In other words, you get to express the very nature of God because now you are trusting him. You will eat from the tree of life. And did y'all miss that? His very nature will be seen through you now and in the millennium. What's the next church? The next church is in Revelation 2, and let's look at verse 11, because we're talking about that church of Smyrna. Smyrna was a faithful church, and he promised us something in there. He says, if he that hath ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. So when you are born again, then death no longer has a grip on you. My brother-in-law passed the other day. Yesterday evening. Death couldn't do no more than what it could do. Because Jesus already removed the sting of death. Yes, it can take the physical body, but it can't go no further. So the sting and the harm of death have been robbed. And Jesus said right there, because you are a saint and you're part of my church, second death can't bother you. Second death means you will die and eternally be separated from God. If you're not born again, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be separated from God. Not temporarily, but forever. Let's get to the third church. The third church in Romans chapter 2, verse 17, is the church of Pergamum. What was Pergamum's problem? They compromised the word of God. They kept doing what they want instead of what God wants. Ooh, is that you? Pergamum. But notice what God said. He says right there in verse 17, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Are you really listening to the Savior? Have you heard what he says? What the Spirit is saying to the churches, he says, to him who overcomes, to him I will give some of my hidden manna. You get to eat from God's holy table. And I will give him a white stone. Notice what the attributes is. And a name, a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but the one who has given it. God's going to give you a name nobody else knows but you and him. Isn't that a reward?
Yes.
That's a reward. But he said the Pergamum church, what's the problem of the Pergamum church? They compromising.
Let the world come in. Yeah.
What's the fourth church and its attribute? Romans chapter, Revelation 2 and 18. Revelation 2 and 18. Isn't it Thyatira?
Yeah.
What was Thyatira known for? False teaching. I think I got the wrong scriptures on printout.
Tolerated sin. Yeah.
But he says right there in verse 29, he who has ears to hear, let him what?
Hear.
Every day God's speaking. You remember on Mount Transfiguration? When Moses and Elijah appeared unto Jesus? And I'm just telling you, sometimes we'd be running our mouth, God had to cut us off. Peter was running his mouth. God, it's good for us to be here. We'll be one for Moses and one for Elijah. And the Holy Spirit had to cut him off. God the Father spoke out of the cloud. Said, this is my beloved son. Listen to him. Amen. How many times you come to church and you ain't listening to Jesus? Jesus speaking just as boldly as he can. And we telling him, I ain't hearing him. See, too many times we want to embrace the problem the way we think it ought to be done. Like the man, like the woman was told how to embrace her problem. And the woman was told to learn to embrace your problems. And that's what the doctor told her. And so as soon as she left, you know what she did? She went home and hugged her husband. God is trying to help you face the problem of the grip of sin. And when the grip of sin grabs you, respond Christ-like. Let's get to the next church. The next church is the church of Sardis.
Yeah.
What was the church of Sardis guilty for? Yeah. They were guilty of not showing the deeds of being complete. What does it mean? They weren't growing. Ooh. How many people we got a part of Edify that ain't growing? See, you're going to be one of these seven churches. You're going to have one of the attributes in the spirit of one of these seven churches. Look what it says in the church of Sardis. He says, he that has ear to hear, let him hear. What the Spirit is saying to the what? To the churches. And notice the attributes of the church of Sardis. They confess the name of the Father. God said, when you confess the name of the Father, you got a reward. Are you denying the Savior? Mm-hmm. Now you say, well, I didn't deny the Savior. Every time you don't let Christ be seen through you, you deny him. Mm-hmm. And I orchestrate to let it happen to see, am I going to be seen through you? Yeah, I use your pastor to come push your button and ask you why you wasn't at church, why you late, and you getting all upset because he's pushing your button, and then you won't let Christ be seen through you. Come on. God said, when I see my son, that's the perfect image, that's a reward. That's what he was telling that Sardis church. What's the next church? The next church is the Philadelphia church. And he commended them. Revelation 3 and 7. Revelation 3 and 7. I really messed up this. I wrote down all these. I'm going to have to correct y'all on these scriptures. I got them all wrong. Mm-hmm. But look what it says in verse 13, since I got it there. He that has ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. God commended that Philadelphia church, and he didn't have nothing to say about it. What's the reward that he's going to give them? He's going to give them because they're going to be a part of the temple forever. Why? See what they are pillars in his temple. Didn't it say that in that verse? See what it says, verse 12 and 13? Mm-hmm. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Mm-hmm. And he will not go out from it anymore. Yep. And I will write on him, remember those names? Mm-hmm. The name of my God and the name of the city of my God, mm-hmm. the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God and my new name. So you will be a part of the eternal temple that never will have to, you have to never leave church. But you're going to be part of the facility. Amen. Part of the eternal building. Let's get to the last church. The last church is where we got a problem, because that's the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church. What were they for? They were guilty for being lukewarm. Now how many like ice cold coffee?
Well,
yeah, it's a new thing now. But before it became popular, nobody liked ice cold coffee. You like your coffee either hot, and you either like it cold, but you don't like it lukewarm, right? God say right there to that Laodicea church, I will spew you out of my mouth. But look what the commendation is that God say. He says right there, verse 22, verse 21. He who overcomes, y'all looking at Revelation 3 and 21? I will grant to him to sit down on me and on my throne, as I also have overcome and sat down on my Father and on his throne. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. What's the promise that God said he's going to do to the Laodicea church that sold out for him? You get to sit with Christ on his throne. And you don't want to prioritize living for the Lord right now. See, all these promises he's made to the church, these seven churches, they're yours to be manifested in eternity. Not in eternity, in the millennium. And yes, I think I will start teaching on that millennium. I'll tell you how long it takes. Because it's sad, the church is woefully ignorant of the word of God. And you show God how much you love him. Like the girl was asked by her boyfriend, do you love me? And the boyfriend says, yes, I love you. And the girl asked him, would you die for me? And the boyfriend says, no, I wouldn't die for you. And she asked why? And the boyfriend says, because I have, my love is an undying kind of love. And then the girl says, but the boy said, but I love you terribly. And the girl says, you sure do. Certainly do love me terribly. God is telling you every day, how much do you love me? How much am I really first? Am I your priority? See, when you do things, let Christ be seen through you, you're showing God he is your priority. Is he your priority? I say, is he your priority? In Revelation, the 13th chapter, verse 9, Jesus kept saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. What is God saying? Listen, when Jesus speaks, you need to give him your undivided attention. Look what it says in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37 through 40. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, verse 37 through 40. If you heard what Jesus said, this needs to sink down to your spirit. Verse 37, Jesus said, and he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Let me stop right there. Are you giving God all of you? Anytime God tells you to do something, it goes down to the very core of your volition in your heart, and you telling God by your response, you love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And I have learned when it comes to my feeling, that's the last thing I need to rely on. If someone says something to me that I don't like, I need to not default to my feeling and to what, and make a volition of what does God say. And how I respond tells God, is he my Lord? And do I believe him? And have I heard him? Notice what Jesus said in verse 38. This is the great and foremost commandment. Are you listening? Jesus' first and foremost commandment to test your loyalty to him is how you respond. Verse 39. And the second is likened to it, that you shall love your neighbor how?
And yourself.
You shall love your neighbor how?
And yourself.
See, when you hear what Jesus said, what comes from you ought to be how Christ would do it. Not the way you would do it. Because I know a lot of times, like Deke said, he want to put his hand on their neck. Come on, you ever wish you could put your hand on somebody's neck sometime?
Mm-hmm.
And just squeeze just enough, not just to kill them, but just to make them think. See, you showing your by your response. Is Jesus really first? I say, is he really first? See, your choice shows God whether he's first and foremost in your life. A man entered a florist shop that displayed a large sign that read, say it with flowers, a dollar a piece. Say it with flowers, a dollar a piece. And so the man walked up and says, well, wrap up me one of those roses. Only one, the florist would ask? Yeah, just one. And so the man answered, I am a man of few words. And you know the truth is to be told, he's also a man of few dollars. See, we can say we're doing something, but the real motive is hidden behind our heart, and God already know our motive. And so don't think God don't see your motive. He know why you're doing it. The problem is, do you know why you're doing it? And when you don't realize it's from my flesh, it's not because I want God to have his way through me, it's because I don't want to have him do what he wants. My will be done and not God's will be done. Look at the closing passage, St. John, the 15th chapter, verse 12 through 14. If we really hear what Jesus is saying, it's going to permeate through our very being. John, the 15th chapter, verse 12 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
John, the 15th chapter, 12 through 14. This is my commandment. Are you listening? Open your Bible. I want you to see this. Jesus is speaking to you. And remember, when Jesus speaks, you got a general command for the church and everybody's expected to be doing. And then you got specific commands that's for you. Y'all getting this?
Mm-hmm.
He's doing them both at the same time. And he's saying which one you're going to listen to. You're going to surrender to both of them. You're going to surrender to part of them. You're going to surrender to all of them. What's going on in your response? He says, this is my commandment. That you love who?
One another.
That you love who?
One another.
One another. Just as I have loved you. Now has that sunk in? I'm telling you folks, if you're born again, your spouse is going to do something. Your pastor going to do something. The people on your job going to do something. But the test is Christ going to come through because you're obeying his command? See how it is? And see, we don't look at it that way. We look at it as a challenge and look at it as a problem. But start looking at it as an opportunity. See, when you obey Christ, when you don't want to, it's a test. But I'm telling you, now and eternity has a reward for that. I'm helping teach. It's an opportunity when your spouse or your husband or your wife or your children, or your boss, or your pastor, or your deacon, or whoever is your neighbor next door to you, does something that makes you want to respond in the flesh, then you, oh, you need to, ooh, this is opportunity. I'm not going to do what I want. I'm going to do what Christ wants. And 2 Chronicles tells us, see on the handout? You don't have to, don't put it up there. Go up there on your handout. 2 Chronicles 16:9. The eyes of the Lord go where?
To and fro.
Where?
To and fro.
He's looking. I'm looking for somebody to let Jesus be seen on the planet. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro. You didn't respond in the flesh when that person, whoever it may be, pushed your button, made you get mad, made you upset. And what they might have did might not have been right, or it could be. But the test is, how are you going to respond? The Bible says in Chronicles, the eyes of the Lord, God is looking to and fro throughout where? He, not in heaven, but where? In earth, that he may strongly support whose heart is completely his. If God sees you letting your will be done, there's no power. You getting this? What does he want to show his power to? He says right there, that he may strongly support those whose heart is what? If you're doing what Christ Jesus wants, then he's going to, God the Father is going to send the power for you to accomplish Christ through you right then. And the good part about it is not only now and right then, but also in eternity. Y'all getting this?
Amen.
In the kingdom to come, there's going to be a reward when you denied yourself and let Christ be seen. And it's not a one-time act. It's a gradual growing process. It's a growing of let Christ character be seen through you. I like what Paul Shepherd said. I was listening to one of his sermons. Paul Shepherd said, well, you know, we act so dumb. It's like taking some dummies to an hour to cook minute rice. How long does it take to cook minute rice? A minute. God said, when I tell you to do something, simply obey. Trust me. I'm responsible to let my power be seen through you. And that's why we teach here at Edify. God wants to be resurrected through you daily. He wants to be lived out through your speech, through your walk, through your talk, through your action, through your behavior. But you won't know that until you learn from him. The Bible said, come unto me, all who are weary, laden, and he'll give you rest. When you learn to start doing what Jesus said, you're going to start resting how he can do it through you. But still, a lot of us too strong, because you're going to do it whose way?
My way.
You want to do it whose way?
My way.
You still want to do it our way. But you tell God like you know him. Do you know him?
Yes, I know him.
See, God looking and say, do you really know me? See, remember those five things in both categories? Five things he wants you to remember, and five things he wants you to know and understand. That's going to help you grow. See, God don't want you to operate out of your strength. He wants you to operate how?
Out of his
strength. Notice what it says in Chronicles? He will strongly support those whose heart is what?
Look at the
handout. Completely his. See, he wants, God the Father is looking for Christ Jesus' nature to be seen through your response, through your action, through how you're thinking. And the more you let Christ be seen through you, you're going to learn how good God is. Isn't God good?
Amen.
Isn't God great?
Amen.
We've been saying in this series, the young people might not know what it is, but you know what it is to go to an outhouse? I remember when I was little and we'd go down and visit my relatives, because we're in Fort Worth, everything was in the house. But in the country, they had an outhouse. And when you had to go to the bathroom, you had to go way out to the what?
Outhouse.
And it was stinky. And if it was cold, if it was raining. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
Now the technology has changed. We got restrooms up in the house, right? And the convenience of, we don't have to go out in the weather. Now, how many people want to go back to going back to our house?
No way. Come on.
When you don't understand how good God is, you still want to go back to the old ways. Go back to the outhouse. Go back to the stuff that because you show God you don't know how good he is. God said you learn how to let my holy character supersede everything inside of you. And you realize, oh, God is so good. I would have walked out of that store and took that and stole that item. I would have lusted after what them people are wearing. Covetous. See how the Ten Commandments incorporated? I would have made myself God and Lord over that situation and shoved God off the throne. The first commandment. See, we do it so simple. And God said, no, let Christ be on the throne. Let Christ respond. And God will give you the supernatural power to let Christ be seen through you. And it's not a one-time event. You do know that, right?
Amen.
I like this illustration. And then we're going to get ready to close. A man went to a person's house. He knocked on the door. And the man's pit bull came out. And the pit bull was about to growl and about to bite him. And the man came out and told him, oh, don't worry about the dog. The dog won't bite. And the man says, yeah. You know the old proverb, dogs won't bite. And the man says, I know the proverb. You know the proverb. But do the dog know the proverb? God is waiting to see. Do you really know? Do you really understand who I am and let it be lived out through you right now? See, you can say you love the Lord, but the test is, are you going to let Christ be seen through you? That shows you love him. If you love me, what do you say you're going to do?
Keep my commandments.
You'll keep my commandments. Go back to John the 15th chapter. He says, this is my commandment that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay his life down for his friend.
Yeah.
Notice what he said in verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I ask, command you to do. God said, friendship don't start by thinking it is. Friendship don't start by reading that it is. Friendship starts by applying what God has said. What's the title of this morning's message?
What is Jesus saying?
What is Jesus saying? Put that up for me, Jameson.
Yeah.
Ask yourself every day, what is Jesus saying to me? Did he tell me to love? Did he tell me to forgive? Did he tell me to be patient? Well, Lord, I can't do it. God says, I already know you can't. You cannot be the right spouse. You cannot be the right employee. You cannot be the right member of a church until you learn to die to self. And then when you die to self, you telling him, you're not my friend. Why? Because you're doing what I asked you to do. See, when you start simply hearing God's command, the edify hour, I really love that. Because God told Moses to speak to the rock.
Yeah.
But previous experience, he hit the rock, isn't that right? But God said, no, this is a different time now. I want to get glory out of the situation. Speak. And what Moses did, he let people intimidate him, threw him over in the flesh. And he got mad and hit the rock. I don't care what people are doing, folks. Do what God say. I don't care how mad they get you. I don't care how mad your spouse and got you mad. Do what Christ say. Problem is, we want to draw the line. I'll do what they say up until they let him cross that line. I do it so far. And God said, no, it's unconditional. Remember the illustration of dumb thinking? Dumb thinking, I like Paul Shepherd. A dummy take an hour to cook minute rice. When you don't do what God says, you're being a dummy. Simply do what God says. And you're going to learn how wonderful he is. How he now takes over through your thinking, your emotion, and how you're going to now learn how he wants things done on the planet. When?
Now.
Hearing right now. So we're going to...